I'd like to get your Bibles this morning, if you will, open to the book of Luke, chapter 6. Luke, chapter 6. If you need a Bible, there's one on the side table. I encourage you to get one to study with us. And I'll draw your attention this morning down to verse 46. Luke 6 and 46. It says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house, and digged deep, laid a foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that, without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." May we again pray. Our Father in heaven, as we again approach thy throne of grace this morning, Lord, I thank you for what your word is going to teach us this morning about what it means to build on the proper foundation. Lord, you know the hearts of each individual that's here. And Lord, I pray if there's one in our midst who's never trusted your Son, Jesus, as Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. Maybe there's other decisions that you have stirred within our heart and our mind. Lord, I pray that we'll be obedient to follow you. I pray that you guide and direct my words. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen. You know, throughout the course of your life, you will most likely be involved in some type of a building project. It could be a new home, maybe a detached garage, an office building, some type of building structure that must begin with a foundation. If you're building a new structure, you must follow the codes of your respective town or city. Soil samples may be required to be tested to determine if the ground can support the proposed structure. Sometimes they require perk tests, and perk tests are tests that measure how quickly water is absorbed into the ground. That may be also required. And then there's the requirements that to the type of material that can be used for the foundation, as well as how deep the foundation must be to support the structure that's above it. And especially in our area, you know that we have to put foundations down below the frost line. Otherwise, the frost could heave the foundation up. But unfortunately, there are those who do not heed the requirements and the codes, and the foundation is laid, the building is built, and in just a few short years, the cracks start to appear. As a result, constant repairs must be made just to keep the rainwater out, not to mention all the repairs that have to continually be done because at the seams between the wall and the ceiling because the foundation is moving. You know, Jesus was a carpenter by trade and profession. He knew houses. He knew the building trade. And one of the things that I think to kind of sum this up of these statements about building our proper foundation is that you have to hear instructions. And that's what Jesus said throughout his ministry. And in fact, even in our text this morning, we're going to see that he says, "Hear what I have to say." We must hear and we must follow or obey the instructions if we're properly going to build a foundation that the Lord would have us to build. And also we look at them building the proper foundation as Paul wrote to Timothy. He says, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come. So in preparation for being with the Lord. Also, I believe the Lord tells us we have to select the correct foundation. This is very critical. Do you build a house on rock? Do you build your house on clay? Do you build your house on sand? Do you build it just on the earth? So picking the right foundation, making sure that our foundation is sure. And how do you know if you have the right foundation to build upon? And then there's counting the cost. You know, one of the things is you start into looking at a building project, you want to make sure you have counted the cost. Because as the Scripture says, is that we don't want to be caught halfway into the project and run out of money. Luke 14, starting verse 28 says, "For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether ye have sufficient to finish it, lest happily after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Now oftentimes in the Scriptures the Lord uses parables to speak. He tells a physical story to teach a spiritual truth. And we talk about building, and we're going to see is that throughout this message this morning, when we talk about building, we're not talking about going out here and building a structure that we're going to live in. We're talking about building a life structure. We're talking about building our structure, what we live in. The Lord says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple, the tabernacle of the Holy Spirit? So in our message today, two questions are going to be asked. What foundation are you building on? What foundation are you building on? And the second question is, how do you know if you have a good foundation? How do you know if you have a good foundation? And when we talk about a life structure, this is inclusive of our spiritual being, our physical, our physical being, our emotional, mental capacities, our choices, our decisions, and our decision making, our discipleship, our worship, our praise, our obedience unto the Lord. All of these things go into the construction of our life structure. The first thing we're going to look at this morning is the foundation of discipleship, and what is the core of it? It is obedience. Look back at our text, verse 46. Verse 46 says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now, in this context, in this text that we read, there are two builders that the Lord speaks about. And in this is that both builders call Jesus Lord. Both builders call Jesus Lord. Both acknowledged Him as Lord. And I'm going to look at this as throughout this message today is that I'm going to look at both of these builders as being children of God. Both of them being children of God. Even though I may refer to one as a true disciple and one a false disciple, is that they're both, I want to look at today as both children of God. Because you can be a child of God and be a false disciple. Let that one sink in a little bit. I'll say it again. You can be a child of God and be a false disciple. Remember what I've said, you've heard me say this countless times, so I'm going to say this. I will tell you that if you're a child of God, you're a Christian. But maybe it's in Christian is label only. There's a lot of people who are children of God, but their life has no representation of Christ. And so they wear the label of Christian because they are a Christian because they've trusted in Christ. But I will tell you this. I should never have to tell you I'm a Christian. Because my life should demonstrate I'm a Christian. You may not know by the first time you meet me if I'm a child of God. Ask me. I'll give you my testimony. But my life should always represent that I'm a Christian. If I truly am a Christian, and I don't have to wear a label. I will say the same thing about being a disciple. I will tell you that yes, as a child of God, you're a disciple. You trusted in Christ. You came to know Christ, you trusted in Him. But I will use the term disciple in the same manner as I use the word Christian. Is that do you wear the disciple as a label only? Or are you sitting at the Master's feet? Are you listening? Are you receiving what the Master has to say through His Word, through His Spirit, and then living your life accordingly, applying what the Lord has given us? And I think Brother Ryan, you brought it out, or no, Brother John brought it out in the devotional this morning about the fact is that what Peter said there, that we are to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's found in 2 Peter 3:18. The question is, are we growing in grace? Growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says, I am sitting at the Master's feet, I am being the disciple, and I'm doing more than just hearing, but I'm also obeying. I am keeping the Word of God. So I wanted to give definitions this morning when I use these terms, disciple, and again, in our context this morning of these two men, I believe both of these men that Jesus was referring to were men that had trusted in the Lord as Savior, but one was a true disciple, and the other was a false disciple. And we'll see why as we look here. So Jesus questions this disobedience and disloyalty. He questions it there. Why call ye me Lord and Lord and do not the things which I say? So he rebukes and he warns anyone that calls him Lord. And a lot of people have called Jesus Lord as their Savior, but yet they do not let the Lord be, or Christ be the Lord of their life. So a profession of words is not enough. A profession of words. So yes, I am separating the people out that the Lord said, "Why you call me Lord, Lord, you do not my work, so when you come before me, I'm going to say I don't know you." And I'm talking about those people. I'm talking about children of God that call Jesus Lord, but yet have never made Jesus Lord of their life. Giving their life over to Him to let Him guide them, let Him lead them. And He says, "And the way, reason I know that you are only giving me lip service and not heart service is because you do not the things that I say you should do." And I will tell you this, a person, a child of God, is cheating themselves when they profess and do not obey. You're cheating yourself if you only profess, because profession without obedience gives a false security. It gives a false security. It makes one feel that they're acceptable to God when they're not. Again, we're not talking about coming before the Lord in salvation. You've already done that. I'm talking about being acceptable, meaning that your life is not being fulfilled by the Lord, that you're not acceptable for God because your life is not acceptable. Only in the context of Him being able to bless you, to give you guidance, to honor you, to let you follow Him, meaning that you're following Him, and when you're not following Him, how can He bless disobedience? How can He bless disobedience? Why is it that children of God today find their lives in shambles and they wonder, "Why, God, are you allowing this to happen to me?" It is because of the fact is that we're not listening, we're not obeying. A child of God will have the stamina with God to go through the trials of our life. When you read Psalm 23 and you read that from what David had wrote there, is that He is with me in the valley of the shadow of death. I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod, Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table for me. You see that even though that He's going and has gone through all of these life issues, is that He still knew that even in the darkest moment that Jesus was there with Him. Because He had more of a, not just a profession of faith in Jesus, but He had a relationship with Jesus. He was following the ways of the Lord. Was He a perfect man? By no means. He was not a perfect man. Now you might ask, what did Jesus say that we need to do if we're going to demonstrate that we have a solid foundation in Jesus Christ? And to demonstrate that we're truly a disciple of Jesus Christ. Simply put, if we're obedient unto the Lord and following His words, if we're obedient, as outlined, in fact, if we read the previous parts of this text here in chapter 6, is that we will find is that they're kind of a summary of the Sermon on the Mount. If you go back into Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, that's traditionally called the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus was preaching and teaching to His disciples, and I'm going to parenthetically say His church, because that's who they were. When Jesus was preaching and teaching, He fully brought out in His Word what He taught His disciples about the Beatitudes, about being the salt and light unto the world, how to deal with anger, how to deal with your enemies, how to properly give, how to properly pray and fast, that God's kingdom should be paramount in your life, what He taught about judging others, about seeking God's help. And the way unto the Lord and eternity was very narrow, very straight, for which this path we are to follow. You know, the path to Jesus, to step into eternity, is very narrow, because Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Amen? Very narrow. But you see, after salvation, then what? The path is still very narrow. The path is still very narrow that we follow. So in order to look at what Jesus was saying here, again in verse 46, when He says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Well, this builds upon what He had previously stated. So let's back up into verse 20. I want to read through this text because I want us to see what, if we're going to be obedient, if we're going to have the right foundation, what it requires of us. So verse 20 of chapter 6 says, and He lifted up His eyes on His disciples. And I notice, you've heard me say this many times, words mean everything. It says, the Lord lifted up His eyes on His disciples. He was looking directly at them when He spoke. He wanted to acknowledge them. He's not speaking with His head down. He's not speaking with His eyes up. He is speaking directly to them. He lifted up because He wanted them to hear what He had to say. And He begins, He says, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. Now think about what the summary of this. Blessed are ye that, even though that you're going through all of these trials, all of these things in your life, blessed are ye when you go through these things. He says, rejoice in that day, leap for joy, because your reward is great in heaven. But He gave some woes as well. Verse 24, but woe unto you that are rich, for ye, and that means for you, those of you that are seeking to always be rich, all right? Meaning to seek, and that's your what drives you. Woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you that when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. Verse 27, but I say unto you, which hear, you cannot obey until you hear. Hear what? Just my ears? No, hear with my heart. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you. And pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Well, that was called the golden rule, right? For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great. And he and ye shall be the children of the highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Then He talks about judging. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Well, that one's been abused for the centuries. That judging does not mean that we're not supposed to judge lifestyles and things like this. What this means is I'm not to have a spirit of judgment, that every time I look at somebody, I judge them. I'm better than you. I condescend to you. You're nothing more than what I make you of. That's what really judging is about here. He says, judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Because I'll tell you, for all you're doing is judging, you will never forgive. You will never have grace. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together. And running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. And He spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master. For everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye? For perceivest not the beam that's in thine own eye. Now listen to what that had to say. You know what a mote is? A mote is a splinter. Now you know what a beam is, and you know what a splinter is. Why is it that you behold the mote, the splinter in your brother's eye, but you have not perceived the beam, the log that's in your own eye? Either, how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that's in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast thou first the beam out of thine eye, own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Now, what he gave here, and again, this is really a summary of the Sermon on the Mount in chapters Matthew 5, 6, and 7. A very good summary of it. And then he says, if these things are present in you, then he says, your life will show forth that you're being obedient, you're following. Well, how do we know that? Well, thank you for asking. Verse 43 says this, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For in the abundance of his heart, notice what it says, for out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So the point is that now when Jesus said in verse 46, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And we can read in the text of what he just said. Why do you call me Lord and you do not these things? Your life does not has not represented that you have a solid foundation and that your life is being lived following what the Lord would have us to do. And I will tell you, many things that you read there in the Scripture, and we just read in that passage of Scripture, it's hard. It's hard to turn the other cheek when somebody slaps you in the face. And it's not necessarily talking about someone physically slapping you. It's talking about things they might say about you. And of this, and then we love those that love us. Well, even the sinners do that. We do good things. We lend to those that we know would return things to us. There's a big paradigm shift in serving the Lord that the things that are really unnatural to us, physically, fleshly, is following after the ways of the Lord. You have this mind in you of Christ because you're a child of God. And He says, let this mind be in you, but let it be demonstrated who you are. Does your life show forth that you're a good tree? That you bring forth fruit that's not corrupt? That people know you by your fruit? As I said earlier, should never have to tell you I'm a Christian, because my life demonstrates that I'm a Christian. You should never have to tell me or anyone else that you're a Christian, because your life demonstrates, what you do demonstrates that you're a child of God. And Christ is seen through your light, or through your life. So in verse 46 or 47 and 48, look, here's a true disciple. And I've already given you the qualification for a true. Lays a foundation. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. The true disciple comes to Christ, hears Christ, and then does what Christ says. He's like a builder in the sense, a true disciple is like a builder. And remember what I said about, it says he's like someone that built a house. We're talking about your life structure. We're not talking about going out there and build a four-wall building. We're talking about your life structure. You, your life, your mannerisms, your conversation. Whoso cometh to Christ, the disciple builds a house. Every person has a house to build, a life to build. We cannot escape that fact. If you're a child of God, you have a house to build. Your life structure. And God's own Son, Jesus, instructs a man how to build. A man hears and then follows and obeys. I will tell you, if you sum up Jesus' life while I was here? If I were to ask you for one word that summed up Jesus' life, the one word you should give me is obeyed. Obedience. His whole life while he was here, 33 and a half years on this earth, was all about his obedience. I come here to do the work of my Father. Now we know he went to the cross, but I'll tell you, that was the work of his Father. He went to the cross. He started his church. That was one of the things he was here to do. He was to show us how to get to the Father. You want to get to the Father? You must come through me. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no boy, no girl. You want to get to heaven? It has to be through me. It has to be from the fact is I'm going to go to that cross of Calvary. I'm going to pay your sin debt on the cross of Calvary. And he did just that. But praise be to God, he didn't stay in that grave. On the third day, as God said it would happen, is that he was raised up. And now where he sits at the right hand of the Father. You see, everything he did. In fact, he even said, if you don't believe me, believe the works that I do of the one that sent me. Everything about his life was obedient. Now, that tells me that he first had to hear if he was going to obey. He didn't come here on this earth and just get up one day and says, well, I'll just figure out what I'm going to do today. He knew exactly what he was going to do. Every day he knew what he was going to do. And always it was about teaching obedience. Demonstrating obedience. Demonstrating who he was and what he was here for. So he showed us how to hear, how to listen. There's not one thing that you cannot find in your building your life structure. You cannot find it here. Every blueprint, every architectural design that you need is found here in the Word of God. There's nothing lacking. Everything that you need to build the right structure. But the right structure requires the right foundation. It requires the right foundation. Notice what it says that this builder did in verse 48. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep. Now he didn't stop digging when it was deep. He stopped digging when he found what? The rock. When he stopped digging was when he found the rock. And you see, that's important for us to understand what was going on. Is that he took the time, it might have taken a long period of time, to actually get down to the rock. That was the only time he could stop building and get ready to put the structure, the foundation in, to build up, was when he found the rock. If you're not a child of God, you need to find the rock. And his name is Jesus. He is the rock. You need to trust in him, but everyone that is trusting in Jesus needs to make sure they're building on the right foundation. Even if it takes a long time to get to the rock. And what I'm talking about is getting to where I start to be able to see Jesus, that He is where I build. I will tell you, when you have your own plans, they're not the Lord's plans, you're not going to see the rock. Oh, you may dig around, scratch around a while. But it's going to get hard. That digging and scratching around and trying to dig up that soil, it's going to get hard because you have your own plans for your life structure. The Lord says that we're to dig deep and find His foundation. Find Him. And I will tell you, it'll be worth digging for. It'll be worth digging for because once you've found the rock, then everything goes up from there. You understand that? Is you dig to find the rock, and then everything goes up. Spend the time finding the foundation of Jesus Christ. Great energy, great effort is demanded when we're trying to find and isolate that rock to build upon. And this builder that Jesus said here, and he gave in this illustration, that he was willing to put forth the time and the effort and the cost into digging and finding the rock. And then once he found it, it says that he laid this foundation upon the rock. And that rock is Jesus Christ. 1 Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. This is when you start to dig. Every child of God that makes a profession of faith. You know, one of the things symbolically we ought to be doing, we probably ought to give them a shovel. We ought to. Because you're going to need to use it. Why do I need that shovel, preacher? Because I need to dig into God's Word. I need to dig deep into God's Word. Not only digging into it, but praying to Him. And Lord, help me to understand Your Word. And as Peter said there in 1 Peter chapter 2, if so be that you have tasted the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We all start, every child of God starts in the same place, on the milk. Starts on the milk. Every one of us, as a child of God, starts on the milk. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. When you become a child of God, that's exactly where you started, on the milk. That's okay. That's where we all start. But we have to put our shovel into that dirt, and yes, it's going to be work. It's going to be work to unearth that dirt. In other words, to dig into God's Word, to see what God's Word has to say, so that we can start to understand what it has to happen. But you notice what, as I was reading there in 1 Peter, it says that we are built up a spiritual house. Remember what I said, once you're on the proper foundation, everything goes up from there. It says we are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, so that we can do what? Offer. To be able to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. You realize that we start to rise up so that we can offer. What do we first offer? We offer ourselves. We offer this life structure. The Lord says you're to be the salt of the earth. He says you're to be the light into this world. And that comes from this life structure, this our very being, offering ourselves unto God's purpose. He builds us up as a result of being on the proper foundation. And also, we also understand this, that the true disciple understands that this, his life, as it is built on the foundation of Jesus Christ, it's not exempt from the storms of this life. And I want you to hear that. This foundation, we're standing on the foundation of Jesus Christ. He is our rock. We're not exempt from the storms. Just because we're built upon a rock does not mean storms are not going to come. In fact, we know that we can stand because we're on the rock. It's because the storms do come that we build upon the rock. We took the time to dig deep down to that rock. We took the time. Though it might have been hard, though it might have taken us a period of time to get there, is that we did so because we knew that this was what was acceptable before God. And we also know what Scripture says. The rain's going to pour on the just and the unjust. All kinds of storms are going to come. And the storms such as sickness and sin and temptation and suffering, disappointment, tension, death, accidents, complaints, mistreatment, abuse, hospitalization, all of these things are storms that come into our life. We're not exempt from it. But I know I can stand through it because I'm on a solid foundation. A man must build upon Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation that can withstand the coming storms of trouble and problems, afflictions, evil and death. In Matthew 21, Jesus said this, verse 42, did you never read in the Scriptures the stone which the builders rejected, the same as become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus is that cornerstone. He is the one that's supposed to be there in our life. In fact, Ephesians 2 and 20, Paul writes, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. You have to look at all the Gospel. You have to look at all the New Testament when we are studying to understand how to build, whether we as an individual, whether we as a family, or we as a congregation. We have to build upon that which is the true foundation. Jesus is the rock. And then upon that rock, we have then what God gave us through the writers of the New Testament. We have what it means, especially for our church, what it means to conduct ourselves as a true assembly of Christ. We have all the information if we will just follow it. But you know, there's a lot of builders that reject that stone. A lot of builders that reject the stone, and as a result, are they won't dig down, And then their life is what? Their life at times is in peril. They're like a reed blowing. The winds of change come and they don't know how to handle it. They have no depth in them. And when I look at this, is that it's because many times, many Christians, all they do is stay on the milk. All they stay on the milk. They will not spend the time in God's Word. They will not spend the time praying. They will spend their time wondering, Lord, why me today? Why me? Why me? They forget that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But why me, Lord? Why did you bring this to me? Because they don't have that solid foundation. And what I mean by that, they don't have that full relationship. Again, it doesn't take away from them knowing Christ as Savior. I'm saying they don't have the relationship, the trust. They don't understand is that when somebody cheats you, you don't have to go cheat them. That's what we just read in the Scripture. When somebody says something negative about you, you don't have to run over here and say something negative about them. When somebody does something ill to you, it doesn't mean that you have to go do something ill to someone else. When somebody trespasses against you, it doesn't mean you have to trespass against them. What it means is you learn. As you're growing in the Word of God, it means you learn how to forgive them who have trespassed against you. I will tell you, the Lord Jesus demonstrated His forgiveness to us, and He does so every day. He says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How many of you have gone a day and didn't have to ask Jesus to forgive you? How many of you have gone an hour? Half a day? A full day? If you tell me you've gone 2 days, I would say, well, you haven't been praying. Let's be honest. And yet, Jesus still says, when Satan comes before the Lord and before God the Father and says, did you see what that individual that you call your child did? And God the Father looks over His Son and says, you know what? I see His blood on them. They're mine. Satan is going to continue to accuse you and accuse you and accuse you before Almighty God. That's his purpose, is to accuse you. And you see, when we look at this, is that the storms come in our life, but we will overcome. We will overcome if our house is built on a strong foundation. That's what verse 48 says. He is like a man which built a house because he did what? He heard my sayings. He did my sayings. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock, Jesus Christ. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock, Jesus Christ. Amen? That's who we built our house on. But let's talk about for a moment here about the false disciple. The one who lays no foundation. And again, I told you I was going to say these two builders are children of God. They both had the opportunity to hear. They both had the opportunity to read the Word of God. In fact, some of these builders that are the false disciple is that they heard through their church. They heard through their parents. They heard through maybe the radio. They read book, the Bible. They've read other books. They've heard through their friends. They heard through television. All they did was hear, hear, and hear. In other words, it went in one ear and out the other ear. And they kind of heard it going through, but never heard it. They never let it sink deep in their hearts. Again, I'm talking about children of God. But a true disciple and a false disciple. Now, I've qualified those, defined them by this. And because they do not and are unwilling to build upon the rock of Jesus Christ, here Jesus says this, verse 49, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth. Now if you go back and you study and you read what Matthew recorded, he didn't use the word earth. He used the word sand. And to me, that word sand gives a more vivid imagery of just earth. In fact, Matthew writes it as this, Matthew 7:26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which hath built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And so what do we have here is that what Luke is writing is that the man that only heard and did not do, it says, built a house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And notice how it went down. Immediately. There was no stamina. There was no standing. And you see is that when there is no true foundation in the Lord, there's no footing. And what a tragedy when the two builders, both of these builders, had the same opportunity. They had the same opportunity. Now, you know, in our society today, we always hear about opportunity. We all want the same opportunity. But you see, in our society, we can all have the same opportunity, but we may not have all the same outcome. I'm just saying, when it comes to the things of this world, we may all have the same opportunity, but we may not all have the same outcome. I will tell you this. If you will build your house as a child of God, we will not only have the same opportunity, but in many ways we're going to have the opportunities for the same outcome. Now, I want to tell you right now what I mean by that. That doesn't take away the fact is that some people grow more in the Lord than others. I'm talking about the fact is that one day you're going to be with the Lord with a foundation that is true for all of eternity. Amen? It's the only place that you will find in Scripture that it says that our outcome can be the same. In other words, I built my foundation. Now, again, it doesn't say that everybody's going to get the same rewards. I didn't talk about that. But our foundation is solid in Jesus Christ, and we do everything. And if we adhere to what the Scripture says, then we have the same outcome that we're going to be with the Lord for all of eternity. Our lives are going to be with the Lord for all of eternity. Our living, our very being, our very presence is going to be with the Lord for all of eternity. That, to me, is the same outcome. Amen? Again, that doesn't take away from blessings and things like that. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about is we all have the same opportunity to dig deep, to get down to that foundation. But if we choose not to, what will happen is the floods are going to come. The trials are going to come. The storms are going to come. And it says, and immediately it fell. The structure fell. Immediately. And the ruin of the house was great. And I will tell you this, is that I think one of the things when we look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13, the Lord addresses this. He addresses this from this perspective. In verse 13, so 1 Corinthians 3:13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest. Meaning it's going to be out for full display. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And when you read through that passage of Scripture, it says this. All of the work that we've done that was out of vanity, all the work that we've done was that for the pat on the back, all the work that we've done for our own name's sake, it says that work is going to be considered as wood, hay, and stubble, and it's going to be burned up. It's going to be gone. There's not going to be any lasting rewards. But it says, for all those works that were done in the name of the Lord, that were done out of the pure heart, all those things that were done is building that foundation on Jesus and letting us build as those lively stones standing up so that we may worship the Lord. And everything about us is that we worship the Lord with our lives, our very being. But it says, all the work that we've done in His name, for His purpose, for His sake, they will also be put through the fire, and they will remain as that gold, silver, and precious stones. But for all those works that have been burned up, and there's going to be some people, and I call them the false disciple. It says, for those that have all their works have been burned up, it says they will be saved, yet so as by fire, because the foundation was true. The rock was true. Jesus was true. Just you had nothing to show on top of what was built. Because you didn't build a life. That's why I said every individual. I don't find in Scripture where it says this. It says, well, pastors, you're going to get so many more blessings because you're the pastor. I don't find that. In fact, I don't even find the Lord qualifying. I mean, there is a special crown, of course, that He talks about, but I'm going to set that aside. My point is this. My point is this. He says, for every child of mine, if you will build, use my architectural plan, use my civil engineering plans, use all of the structure and information I've given, use the mortar I've given you. What's the mortar we have? That's love. Use the mortar I've given you and follow my prescription for building your life structure. He says, then when it comes time to stand, your works will be manifest and what you will have is more than just a salvation. You will have eternal rewards, and that is afforded to every child of God. Every child of God, if we hear and obey. But if we choose not to obey, and all we do is hear, and you may be sitting here today and you may have tuned me out 20 minutes ago, and all you hear is blah, 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 blah. The storms are going to come into your life. And immediately your house will fall. Because it was not, you did not take the time to build, to dig deep, to find the rock. You built your house on earth. You built your foundation on earth. You built your foundation on sand. And there was nothing there to hold you up. Nothing. Immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You see, for each and every one of us, each and every one of us is a child of God. We're going to be in one or two of these, you're going to be one or the other. And either you're going to be the one that says, that the Lord says, because He said there again in verse 47, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep, laid the foundation on a rock, and when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was not found, or for it was founded upon a rock. That's one category that we all have that opportunity to do as a child of God. But the other one says, but he that heareth and doeth not, he is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Every child of God is offered the same opportunity to dig deep and find the rock. And then once you found it, lay the foundation. And once you started to build, you build up your life structure so that you may do what? As a lively stone, be able to praise and honor and glorify the Lord. If all you're doing is building your house upon that sand, upon that earth, you're not going to glorify the Lord. Here's what's going to happen. Look at the great structure I've built. My life is so good. My life is so great. And then all of a sudden the first storm comes. You get sick. Uh-oh. What am I going to do now? Somebody dies. Uh-oh, what am I going to do now? Lose my job. Uh-oh, what am I going to do now? All my fortune is gone. What am I going to do now? People turn against me. Uh-oh, what am I going to do now? It's because you had no foundation. You had no place to stand. Is that all of a sudden you get swept away? Are you a true disciple? Or are you living your life as a false disciple? Now maybe you've gone down the path of being a false disciple. I praise God that again, 1 John 1 and 9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness so that we can do what? Get back to digging deep again. So we can find that rock. So we can build up. Serve Him. Worship Him. Whoever you're here this morning, you've never trusted in Jesus. And I will tell you this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you don't know the rock. You don't know Him. You need Jesus today. Jesus said that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know the rock is your Savior? And once you've trusted in Christ your Savior, what's next? I need to be baptized. What's next? I need to unite, be a part of a local New Testament assembly. What's next? Be taught, because we're on the milk of the Word. Be taught the Word. Now what's next? Obey the Word. Apply it. Go out and witness. Be formidable and go forward. You want to know what's next? Step into glory with Jesus. You see, hear Jesus' sayings and do them. That's what is required of a true builder. Let us stand as our musicians come forward for hymn of invitation. Father in heaven, as we come to the close of this study this morning, Lord, I thank You so much for what Your Word teaches each and every one of us. You want so much for our growth in You. You want us to live lives that are patterned after You in obedience unto You. You know the heart of each individual here. You know the struggles that we have. Lord, I pray that if we've gotten off course, that we will ask for forgiveness and we will get back to the work at hand. But if there's one in our midst who's not trusted in Your Son Jesus as Savior, I pray that today is a day of salvation. Whatever the need of the hour, may we be obedient unto You. For it's in the name of Jesus we ask these things. Amen.